Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
We're back. Although, Johnny, shall we start with a formal apology? Because I've heard of skipping pre-season when you're an experienced campaigner, much like yourself. But starting 5 weeks into the season, that's a bit much, eh?
Becoming properly Fijian. Like, the only person I know that bad is Jim Nagusa. He took 3 months off at the start. We're a month late, but Tim, you took at least 6 weeks holiday. So you can't say anything. And also, we had some summer signings. We had some things to tee up, some paperwork to get through, some new additions to the show. So things have taken a little bit longer, but it's awesome that we're back and delighted to have a new man with us.
Absolutely. Welcome back to the French Rugby Podcast with me, Tim Groves, ex-Scotland international and adopted Frenchman, Johnny Beattie. And as you mentioned, Johnny, we haven't just been twiddling our thumbs while we've been away, not just sat on the beach. We've been in deep contractual negotiations. And you need a deep squad nowadays, don't you? So we're going to be operating a bit of a rotation policy this season. Benji will be back at various points, won't he? But other new faces on board, and you need a marquee signing too. Shall we unveil him, Johnny?
We should, mate. We're skint, but we should unveil him. On you go.
Transfer reveal videos are all the rage, aren't they? There have been some impressive unveilings over the years. Not on this podcast. We haven't prepared anything. But do you want to do a drum roll on your table, on your desk, on your wall? Marquee signings don't come bigger than this. Top 14 winner, Champions Cup winner, twice World Cup winner. Jerome Kano, how you doing?
Hey guys, thanks for having me. It's great to be a fixture here on the show. I'm not too sure if my stories will be as top shelf as Benji's, but I'll do my best.
We've had you on the show a couple of times already, but to be a bit more of a regular fixture, how are you feeling?
I'm feeling good. Had a chat to Johnny earlier on in the season and spoke about the possibility, and it's not really something that I would usually gravitate to, but mate, it's a challenge and something that gets me out of my comfort zone.
What did he offer you then? What did he sweeten the deal with?
Oh, a couple of coffees and a few brewskis.
A couple of Cote d'Ivoire, a couple of tickets to Scotland be the All Blacks. Mate, I feel like a proper lower league, like president or manager, like trying to get a rock star to come in, like properly scraping the barrel. But seriously, delighted to have you with us, man. It's awesome. So thanks a lot. And looking forward to this year. There'll be another semi-regular guest joining you and Benji, who we won't announce just yet. But mate, it's going to be awesome to have you with us.
And we should start with Kano, the coach. So you've been retired just over a year now. Finding transition to coaching good?
Yeah, I'd say no, I'm really enjoying it. This year's a lot more smoother. The transition's a lot more smoother and I feel a lot more comfortable than last year. I was still in player's mode, trying to sort out my schedule and also what's needed as a coach. But yeah, I learned a lot last year in terms of what's needed as a coach, what's needed for the younger players. And I'm learning so much off the other coaches that I'm working with. So it's been great.
Tell me about the hours, because I think it's changed from when we first started pro rugby and, you know, you came in, you did your work and you saw the coaches leaving at the same time. Like now there's a real, mate, the hours are three times what a player does, yeah. Like clearly. So like my first question is, honestly, I think a lot of people out there, especially my wife, is like, you know, rugby was a bit of a jolly sometimes, rugby coaching as well. Like, but it is hard graft. Tell us how hard it really is.
With me, it's not too bad, but there are a lot of early starts. But I'd have to say no one works as hard as Hugo Moller here at Toulouse. He's the first one to arrive and the last one to leave. But no, for me, it wasn't too much of a shock. It's more when you get home, you can't leave work at work. You've got to constantly think about rugby as a coach, constantly think about ways you could evolve as a person or as how you could evolve your rugby. So that was the part that I really struggled with, is not being able to switch off. But no, all the other things have I've always understood and known that I had to pick it up. But that was the part for me that I found really hard, because as a player, you can be a little bit selfish and just focus on you and what you need to do to be at your best on Saturday. But as a coach, you've got 50 or 60 other guys that you have to try and adapt your approach and how you get the best out of them.
And I've spoken to loads of mates that made the transition as well. But how are you finding having your squad, like you've won the top 14, you've won Champions Cup together, you're good mates, you're a band of brothers, and then all of a sudden you're in a position of authority, you're a coach. Like, so how have you found that dynamic shift as well with your mates?
Yeah, that's taken a little bit of getting used to. Obviously, you have to keep that distance, as you can't be seen after training playing poker with the lads in the team room. That was a bit of a shift. But in terms of relationship and how close I am with the boys, nothing's really changed. We still hang out, still chat. And I think for me as a coach now, that I think that's pretty important, having those close friendships, relationships, because it helps a lot when you're on the paddock coaching and being with the boys.
Johnny mentioned the hours. You work with the Espoirs and the first team. So is that double the hours, or how does it work?
Double the pay, surely.
No, we've got a pretty good schedule. As my Espoirs, we train in the middle of the day. So if the pro team plan to train in the morning, I'm straight away with the Espoirs and we're training midday. And then if the pro team have a double day, it's pretty much most of the day on the field.
Hardest working man in French rugby, Johnny.
No.
The question that I really want to ask, though, because this is something that Benji and I laugh about quite a lot, is how's the rig? Like, you've gone from training and full time, and have you blown out? You still look lean. Like, have you looked like you've lost weight? So you've clearly not gone the other way, but how's the rig feeling? Is it holding together?
Yeah, it's nice. It's feeling good. I'm not walking around like a 70-year-old man on Sunday mornings. It's been great. I've taken probably a year and a bit off, no weights, no high intensity work, but I think it's about time that I start doing a little bit of something. I have lost a bit of muscle, but I think I'm a little bit heavy in terms of scale wise.
Mate, it's never a good sign when you lose all your muscle but your body weight is still the same.
Yeah.
That's when you get the nudge from the missus. She's like, mate, something needs to change. It's been a year and a half, like, come on, get yourself back in there.
No, she was a pretty good off season.
We'll maybe ask you a bit more about coaching later on, but we are sorry, as we mentioned, that we've spent so much time on the beach. But the good thing about that, Johnny, is five rounds in, so much to talk about, so let's get cracking. Lots off the pitch as well as on it. It was French rugby's version of the Oscars last week. I think we spoke to you the week of La Nuit de Rugby last season, Joe Mutchley, and you were there. This year, not too much debate about the winners. Antoine Dupont, top French international. Zach Mercer, top 14 player of the year. Easy.
Like you said, there wasn't really much debate in terms of the winners. But from a start point of view, it was awesome to see Antoine get another award. And and another halfback who plays for our women's team, Laurie Census, get the women's award as well. So that was incredible for us to be able to celebrate here at the start.
And also Zach, another friend of the show, like, no surprise. Again, like, a man who in the final was MVP player of the final. Headed obviously back home now, so we're sad that he's heading back home for his, like, excited for his challenge, trying to make that World Cup squad. But not many eights come over here, one of the biggest physical leagues on the planet, and make that big a splash in their first season. Like, he was absolutely phenomenal. He's not a massive guy either. Like, he's not massively gifted genetically size-wise, but, like, his timing, his power, his technical ability in spades, he reads the game so well. So, like, really, really chuffed for him. Absolutely delighted to pick up the award and wish him all the best for the rest of this season, and then also in his quest to make that World Cup squad. As we said, that's going to be a huge challenge for him going back home.
You mentioned him heading back home. The other news, obviously, Sam Simmons moving from Exeter to fill his boots. So you also mentioned size. Jerome, as a former back rower, both former back rowers, he's even smaller than Zach. So when you look at Sam Simmons moving to the top 14, do you think he can have a similar impact to Zach, or is he going to find it tricky to adjust because it is the land of the Giants at times in the top 14?
No, I think he'll just continue his momentum that he had in the Premiership. He's a deceivingly small, he's just a tank. And I think he'll fit in right in with the top 14. He's a very similar profile to Greg Aldrich, Tunga at La Rochelle now. So he's a bit of a tank, but he's also quick. He was a try-scoring machine at the Premiership. So for me, coming to top 14, I think he'll fit right in with how the game's played and how physical it is, because he doesn't shirk that responsibility, that's for sure.
Now, I think there's been a shift as well, from when I started in the top 14, it was just like it was land of the mutes. It was like, can you get the biggest pack of forwards on the field? Whereas now there's way much more organization. It's harder to break defenses down. There's more skill required. And if you think, like you mentioned a few names, like he reminds me of Sean O'Brien as well, just like the way he has that explosive power, like low center of gravity, can burst tackles. And he's got a real point of difference. You mentioned, the amount of tries he scored 5 to 10 meters out for Exeter because of how well organized they are. And that's what he'll bring to Montpellier. Like, he's a British lion. Like, he's a top, top player. So, like, Zach Mercer is a big loss, but I think Philippe Saint-André has been quite shrewd with his recruitment. Like, he used to commentate on the Premiership as well. And I reckon Sam Simmons will go well.
And it is a bit odd to be talking about next season when we're only a few weeks into the season, but it is the big news. And while we're on it, another big move, but in the coaching side of things, Stuart Lancaster going to Racing.
I think that's class. And again, I'd choose the word. I'll use it again, like a shrewd recruitment by Racing. Travers moving upstairs. But I think this is a massive push towards, like, again, I mentioned it used to be land of the Giants and get the biggest team and like shell out cash. But I think French rugby is shifting more and more towards having good coaches, the formation and development of young French players and real coaching. And I think that Lanny, that's him. Like, this friend of the show, Joro Kokoko, Nyanga, Sarzeski, they're all up there, but I think Lancaster will be almost the jewel in the crown, like an excellent coach, like with England and with Leinster. His detail, like the way he gets his teams moving, both with England, again, they were unlucky to get dumped out of that World Cup and he paid the price, but his style of play, the detail and the organization you can see in his teams, like how big a leader he is, I think will be absolutely awesome. And I also to add, if you speak to anyone that's worked with him, is overwhelmingly positive. He's loved everywhere he's coached. So it's a massive coup, because I know there was like there were four international sides after him as well, trying to get him to leave Leinster. So it's a massive, massive signing for Racing, and that's huge for them.
And Jerome, you'll have come up against his sides a fair few times over the years, Lancaster. So as a coach, him moving from the URC to the top 14, what are the kind of details, I guess, that might be different in the French league that he'll have to get used to?
I don't know. For me, like Johnny said, he'll definitely have a load of experience and a lot of detail that he could bring to the Racing environment. But I think for me, what he would have to try and mold or fuse together is how he could get the Racing DNA, how he can evolve that, because sometimes it's tough coming into a new environment and changing everything with the players, especially with the talent that he has. So I think that'll be one of the challenges that he has. But from the teams that he's worked with and the knowledge he would have to be able to work with the players that he will come and coach, it's pretty exciting for them.
Another friend of the show, Thibaut Giroux, rumoured to be... Well, no, he is joining him, isn't he?
He is, mate. He signed a 6-year contract. It's the biggest contract I've ever heard a performance coach. And there's a reason. Like, he's sought after. He's one of the best in the business. And you've seen what he's done with Toulon, with Glasgow, with the French side. He's class. And that's why Racing are shelling out and bringing these people in. He will be exceptional. Again, going back to Lanny a little bit more, like, you think about the DNA... the organization the sides have had, also with Leinster, like the ball in play time, the fact that Racing has like a synthetic pitch with like a roof that's covered all the time. So they're there to entertain, put on a show in Paris. And these are all things he's going to have to take on board and sort of weigh into his team. But like Jerome said, in your second language, in your first season, it's hard to implement. I think also Felipe Contempomi is coming down with him, who has been part of his staff at Leinster, so he'll be massive. Again, the experience he had at Stade Francais and at Toulon, the French speaker and how he gets those messages over, really gets these things into these young French players and gets it ingrained into them so they can start the season flying. They'll have a pre-season together and then they're off. So look, it's class. It's a massive rebuild, but to be adding Lancaster, Giroud, Contempomi, We know they're in the market for standoffs as well, marquee names. It's big change, but it all looks like positive change at Racing, who at the minute, like we'll get into games in a bit, look a little bit shaky in the way they're playing.
We mentioned Thibaut Giroud leaving the French setup. Interestingly as well, Karim Gazal and Laurent Labit reportedly leaving Fabien Galtier's staff after the World Cup as well. Does that set any alarm bells ringing at all in terms of either the timing or the fact that it's happening, or is that just natural that coaches might move on?
But I think they're victims of their own success. Like, they've been phenomenal as a team. So it's only natural that big clubs with big budgets will come after them. And for the most part in the top 14, the clubs will have bigger budgets than the FFR. So there's a financial reason that you can be pulled away, but you also can't expect to be that good as a national coaching setup and then not be poached. There's something to be said as well for these guys being assistants in a national setup, but also wanting to go and run their own teams. Like, they want to go and be leaders and run their own organization. So as much as you might think it's strange, it's not midway through a World Cup cycle. It's announced at the end of the World Cup, although it's strange to announce it now. They'll be there for the duration, see the teams through, and then the top 14 doesn't start until after the World Cup anyway. So it's a natural follow-on timing-wise. But I just think the way the French team has been the past two seasons with the coaching staff they've had is normal. They've been so good that it's absolutely normal these guys get poached. And there's been some random names thrown out in French press as to come in and take their places, which has been really random to see. But it's going to be hard for Fabien to go and get quality aligned with what he has and not pick from head coaches or absolute superstars in the coaching world in the top 14. So I think it's normal, but that's just my opinion.
We've seen a lot of coaching changes in Eddie Jones's England setup over the years, and often that is put down to the way he works, his intensity. Is there anything in that, Jerome, in terms of Fabien Galtier, or do you think this is a completely different situation?
To be honest with you, I'm not too up to speed with what goes on inside the camp or even the characters inside the camp. But all I go off with is with a lot of feedback that I have with the players, and they say they work really hard, but it's a really enjoyable environment. And Johnny said, the players just all they say is that the coaches compliment each other with the way they work and how they've developed the team. And you've seen the last 3 years how the boys have adapted to their coaching setup. They've just gone from strength to strength. And I think I said it earlier on this year that if they continue the way they're going, they'll definitely be favourites come World Cup time.
And Johnny, you know Fabien, so is there anything in that in terms of the intensity? And also, there are rumours that Japan are going to throw the checkbook at Fabien Galtier after the next World Cup. Can you see that at all or not?
I don't know. In terms of the personality, he's intense. But like, look what the result is. Look what the product is. Look what he gets out of the players. And I think as well, the sort of that type of intensity, you mentioned Eddie Jones, but for me, that's suited to international rugby. Like, you take your best players, you get into an intense environment, you nail your detail, you come together as a team, and then you perform. That's what it is. And then you have a break from these personalities through this year. You go back to your club. So how you see them performing as a team over the past two, three seasons is night and day to what we've seen from the French team over the past 10 years. So they're doing an amazing job. And would it surprise me? It absolutely wouldn't surprise me. Like, it would be very Fabien to win the World Cup and then ride off into the sunset and coach the Japanese side. That being said, I think it'd be a real shame because I'm not sure there's another French coach right now. You might disagree with me, Jerome, but there might be somebody quite close to you that could do a decent job. But I think right now, he's doing a phenomenal job, and it'd be a shame to see him leave the French team, even after they win or do win the World Cup in 2023. So nothing would surprise me, though. With Fabien, nothing would surprise me at all.
You mentioned the random names being thrown out. Hugo Moller is one of them, not to take over from Fabien Galtier, but he's been mentioned in the media as someone who might take over from Laurent Labit. Can you see him leaving Toulouse to do that, Drew?
For me, no. I don't really see it. But that's just me. All I'm reading is what's on Rugby Rama and what's on Instagram. So
scandalous rumours.
There's no real solid evidence for me to be able to report or announce that there's anything behind those rumours.
Until you ask him tomorrow morning at breakfast and you can confirm or deny for us.
I can guarantee you that won't be one of the questions I would ask him tomorrow.
Over your morning espresso. Like, the other one that was thrown out was Pierre Mignoni. But like, there's no way Hugo Moller would down tools at Toulouse to go and be an assistant. Like, It's just unrealistic. The same with Pierre Mignoni. And you look at the two characters, the two types of men they are, like there's absolutely no chance they're going to go and become assistants in the French national side. I think potentially one day they would take over and become the French national team coach, but absolutely no chance are they leaving Toulon and Toulouse, two of the biggest clubs in the world, to go and be assistants at the French national team. No way.
Crucially, one assistant who looks like he is staying is Sean Edwards. And one rumour that may prove to be correct is that Bobby the Rope Strigin could be replacing Thibaut Giroud. The link makes sense there, Johnny.
It does, mate. It's great that Sean's staying on because I think we can see how defensively they've revolutionised under him. He has been absolutely phenomenal. Another mate of the show who's been on before as well. And the Rope, like Bobby, again, we talk about his, again, with Wales, with his clubs, with the Lions, how much he's been loved globally by everyone that's worked with him as well. So if France are going to go in a different direction after Thibaut, language might not be a barrier. Sean Edwards can translate. It'll all be good. But another one that globally has been loved by everyone that's worked with him. So could be the man to do the job.
It's a hell of a lot on this coaching merry-go-round. We should ask you, Jerome. You're at the start of your coaching career, but you're obviously trying to forge your own path. Who do you look at in terms of your mentors or coaches you'd like to take bits from? How do you kind of see it going moving forward?
Mate, at the moment, I'm learning a lot off the guys, the coaches that I'm working with, Hugo Moller, Jean Boyeux, Virgil Lacombe, Clément Potrineau, and Laurent Thierry. So those guys would, for me, I'm constantly trying to mirror a lot of the things that they do and learning as much as I can. But in terms of mentors, I've been, ever since I decided or even mentally thought about trying out coaching is Wayne Smith. He'd definitely be one awesome. I try and catch up with him every couple of months just to talk about where the game's going and also just see how the family's going. But he's definitely one that I always try and tap into in terms of knowledge and how I can make my position that I'm in, how I can do it the best that I can.
Was he also one of your biggest influences when you were playing? Like, was he one guy when you heard him speak, you were like, this is the man, like I need to... You've obviously worked with some world-class coaches. Like, who else would you add to that roster of people that are really influential and got the best out of you as a player?
Yep, definitely Wayne Smith would be one of the most influential coaches that I've had. Steve Hansen would be one. He was the ex-policeman, ex-sergeant, so you couldn't bullshit him. You couldn't you couldn't fake anything around him. And he also knew how to adapt his approach to whatever player, whatever person he was talking to get the best out of him. So for me, those two. Another one that I do talk to quite often is Joe Schmidt. He was one of my first ever New Zealand representative coaches when I was in schoolboys, and we always kept in touch. And then you saw the career that he paved for himself and became one of the world's best coaches and still is. So I still keep in contact with him. And yeah, when I was at schoolboys, Joe Schmidt still, he looked like a schoolboy in the schoolboys team, and he still has the baby face now. So for me, those would be the top three guys that I, outside of France, that I try and look up to and try and tap into to get as much experience or information off them as possible.
Not a bad little stable of mentors there, Johnny. You might have a future.
Yeah, not bad. I'm not got a list that can compare to that, mate. So you are winning that hands down.
Andy Robinson, Frank Haddon.
He's not on the Christmas card list, either of them. I'm not going to lie.
And talking then about assistants, Jerome, that might want to be the top man, potentially moving from France to the top 14. At the start of your journey, what is the ultimate ambition? Is it to be a head coach? Do you like having an area that you focus on? What's the, is the ultimate ambition to be All Blacks head coach?
Oh, no. For me, I'm quite tunnel vision at the moment, just to try and focus on my role at the moment. And that's Espoir, with the Espoirs, and also the ruck area with the pro team. I just want to be the best at that and see where that takes me. I've still got a lot to learn, a lot to experience. And and for me, for right now, that's my main focus. I'll never say never to other ambitions, but I think that'll come as I experience and as I learn.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, marketers. Want a matchmaker to set you up with your perfect audience? Well, look no further. Get intimate right away with host-read sponsorships with Acast. Use Acast's self-serve ad platform to search and partner up with a podcaster or two from our network of more than 100,000 shows. Have them sing your praises in their own words. And get their listeners ready to be wooed into loyal customers. It's the ultimate loving endorsement. Book host-read sponsorships with Acast. Head to go.acast.com/closer to get started.
Well, we should probably talk about some rugby now on the pitch, should we? Five games into the season, everyone, Johnny, has won at least a couple of games. If it's possible to get any tighter, is the top 14 tighter than ever this year?
It doesn't change. And the two big dog kicking off where they left off last year, La Rochelle and Toulouse sort of flying the flag and chip leaders at the minute, but we know how quickly it can change, like with injuries, with national games coming up over the autumn and people leaving the club. Like, you look at both ends of the table, there never is that much difference between like third and fourth and 12th, 13th. Like, it's just the nature of the beast. The top 14 is a marathon. But five games in, like, it's been entertaining. Some of the rugby that's been played has been fast. It's been dry pitches, it's been quick, it's been entertaining to watch. Some of the tries that have been run in have been ridiculous. One, again, Jerome's boys, Toulouse at the weekend, end-to-end, like going coast-to-coast against Montpellier. Absolutely freakish and real joy to watch. So look, it's the top 14 as we know it. The quality has been awesome so far to watch. But as I mentioned, the two big dogs, La Rochelle and Toulouse, some of the rugby they've flung together has been top class and it's been great to watch.
Yeah, I wish I could say it was great to watch, but from a coaching perspective, there's no real off button because you know how tight the competition is, and every week you've always got a new challenge. And once you experience a high from a game, you know, straight away you've got to start focusing on the next week and then in the next week after that.
What about in-game, mate? Like you said, you wish you could enjoy them. Are you managing to enjoy watching games when you're at the, like, again, it's different from me being removed now and no longer being part of the physical confrontation part. I really don't miss that. But I can now enjoy games. When you're invested as a coach, do you still have that stress, like that horrible feeling and the sort of anxious nature of, oh, shit, we need to win this or big game? You still get that or do you get a little bit of a buzz watching?
No, I'm pretty bad spectator when it comes to rugby. And because I'm so invested in it with the coaching role and I'm so close with the team that I think that just amplifies it. I get really nervous before games and I'm so stressed when things happen that don't go our way during games. So, yeah, I wouldn't say it's an enjoyable process.
And Johnny mentioned you've had a great start to the season, but that was also the case last season, wasn't it, for Toulouse? And then there was a mid-season blip and then he came strong again. So top of the pile at the moment, Toulouse. Has there been chat about last season and how it sort of panned out, lessons learned? Has that been spoken about?
Yeah, I think it's been our case for the last couple of years. We start really well and then obviously we lose a number of players in the international window. But I think this year we've been able to, and we've had the chance to be able to bleed in some new blood, new players, and they're going really well for us. So I think hopefully that we'll be able to get ourselves to a position where our younger players have so much experience from the beginning of the season that we have that depth in the squad to be able to have confidence in the younger guys to go out there and do the job. But yeah, it's still early days, but really happy with the way our young boys have been going.
Hey, two of them, one of them not so young, but two brothers for you at the weekend, the Retier brothers.
Yeah.
And again, like we'd all seen Arthur play for La Rochelle as, you know, a fullback, as a wing, as a center. Yeah. But talk me through him at nine and his brother. Like I'd never seen him play nine. And when he came in, we heard he was going to be like a Swiss Army knife. I was like, is that really going to work, him playing nine in the top level and top 14? But like you went away the weekend, you spanked Montpellier away after you'd been written off. Like press over here was horrible to you. Like you were going to get your asses handed to you. But those are the exact type of guys that stood up and were absolutely phenomenal. Can you tell us a little bit more about them, like as brothers and 9-10 combos and how that's all slotted in?
Man, it was incredible to see those boys play together, but also play the way they did. Those boys are so close. For us, we didn't really focus too much on the media or what was said. I think we had the confidence in the team that we had picked to go over there and do the job and play at our level. But, for me, being so close to Edgar, he's my captain with the Espoirs, to be able to get his opportunity, his first match, and to play with his brother, but to also really stand up and drive the team around. I was really stoked for him. It got a little bit emotional in the changing room before the game as the boys were prepping, because been a long time coming for him and to play off his brother. But yeah, for me, I was just stoked for him.
And another big winner at the weekend were Clermont, beating Lyon 43-20. Alvaretti Raka hat trick. Is he going to be back in the France reckoning in the autumn? Or
I reckon Mathis Labelle might be the... Like you're smirking, Jerome. I don't know why. Maybe you know something that I don't know, and the list has already come out. But I don't know. Like sad news again. Like the injuries we haven't really touched on, but like Vakatawa having to finish, Bernard Leroux up in Paris, Gabin Villiers having like the worst kind of injury where you do at the end of last year, you rehab the whole way through summer, and then they tell you when you get back to rehab running, actually it's not working. You have to have an operation, which is so demoralizing.
Out of hands as well, Jim.
Again, like the injury list and key positions, although the depth in French rugby is stronger than it ever has been, but like Mathis Labelle, Raka, you would say that Raka going forward is absolutely phenomenal. In the air, possibly going backwards, not as good. But like Jerome can comment more than me, but a guy that I've been super impressed with over the past 2-3 seasons, he started this year with a bang as well. Mathis Labelle would be, in my mind anyway, probably on the top of that list. I don't know what you think.
Last year, I think he just needed the confidence to be able to express what he already had. And he's such a quiet kid, doesn't really speak out too much. But what he's able to do when he's high on confidence is just incredible. So for me, I wouldn't be more than happy to be able to see him put the blue jersey on again. But Raka, I saw a few clips of them playing. I think it was Toulon. It was an amicable match, and it just looked like a man playing against boys. And he just continued that into the season, and he's been week in, week out. He's just been incredible. So I think any of those two guys, but that's just two names of a handful that they have here in France.
We've chatted a lot about coaches already. Johnny, at the end of last season, we spent a fair bit of time talking about Christophe Urias and Bordeaux. Obviously, we know Cameron Wockey has gone, but things haven't started brilliantly for Bordeaux, have they?
Mate, you say that, they're seventh. And if Jerome's Toulouse hadn't beaten them at home early on, they'd be fourth. So, well, like a narrow victory. And again, it doesn't look glamorous, but Christophe's teams never really are glamorous. Like they're hard, arduous, hardworking, pragmatic teams that he produces. I don't know, if it hadn't been for that early loss to Toulouse, they'd be okay, but that's it. One loss in the top 14 and you sink back 3-4 places. The press starts talking. It's just the nature of the beast. Like it's so fine, the lines of... Like one guy that did take a pot shot at Urios was one of your new boys, his dad. So Olivier Roumat, his son Alex is playing for Toulouse, and he's been phenomenal again, like slotted straight in, expressing himself, playing really well, bossing at the line out. But Olivier's dad came out and pressed over here and said that his son had to eat shit for 2 years and take shit for 2 years from Urios, and now he's having a great time. And look, Christophe gets loads of stuff leveled at him over here because he's a polarizing character. He enjoys talking. He enjoys hard work. I really enjoyed working with him. I thought he was a fantastic coach. I genuinely did. And I don't think that they're going to be at the foot end of the table come the end of the season. It's a long old season, like we said, and like they're going to be making top six, top eight. But it hasn't been the best start, but that's all come from one loss against Toulouse. And they're not going to be the only side to lose at home to Toulouse this season because they're a big old team. So yeah, not all rosy. Not everyone's happy with them, but I'm fairly sure they'll come good as the season progresses.
La Rochelle beat Racing at home, but aside from the result, it's doing the rounds in the media. 70 consecutive home sellout crowds. And I know the support you get at Toulouse is brilliant, Jerome, but that is phenomenal, isn't it?
Was it 70?
70 in a row, sold out home games.
That's incredible. Yeah, that's the huge difference that I noticed coming over from New Zealand and experiencing top 14. I'm not too sure if it's the same over in the Premiership or the URC, but here in France, the support's incredible. Every stadium that we play at, there's a massive crowd outside welcoming the buses. And then obviously during the game, the singing, it's just nonstop.
And when you speak to mates, like obviously Victor, Vito, who's been there, and Kerr Barlow, how are they enjoying it? Like boys that you've played with in the past that have come over and they've had that experience as well. I know you've loved it at Toulouse, but they must have loved, because the atmosphere at their stadium at home is insane. Like, it's an incredible place to play.
Oh, it's an incredible place to visit when you're a visiting team. The singing, so loud. But definitely when I've spoken to the lads, they definitely love the city, love the club. Wingy Antonio, he's from where I'm from in Auckland, in New Zealand. And when he came over, all the reports were just like... just a second home, how he's enjoying the environment, enjoying the atmosphere during games, and to be able to experience it firsthand, it's incredible.
I think it's definitely his first home now, isn't it? King of La Rochelle.
Absolutely. The king.
Yeah.
In less good news for them, Johnny, the LNR have given Ronan O'Gara a 6-week sideline ban. He's been in trouble again. He's out of action till the end of October, isn't he?
He is. And we just mentioned how well Toulouse and La Rochelle play. Like, I love the way they operate. I love the way on field, how they go about it. Like, Ronan's always had, going back to playing against them, like Glasgow, Munster, Scotland, Ireland, he's always had just this horribly competitive streak to him. That's probably a positive. But the weird bit is when you get into that coaching arena and becomes part of the environment, and we talk about our values and respect, humility, culture, like how do we work, how do we go about our business, like he won't want to be transferring that to his players, because you can't be abusing touchline officials. Like, it's just that something he has to cut off and remove from his game. Keep the competitive spirit, keep all the positive stuff that how he's getting them to perform, how he runs that team, how they play, because it's phenomenal. But that's just like the one little thing that's like a little black mark, I guess, from at the minute, is if he's looking at, you know, Munster jobs or Ireland jobs in the future, they'll be like, what's his temperament like long term? How is he going to affect our culture? What's he going to bring to our group? And again, for the players, like you'll know now as a coach, Jerome, like when your head coach has a touchline ban, and I've had it with different coaches where they're making phone calls to assistant coaches, like in the changing room, in the tunnel, like it's just another layer that you don't need. It's another difficult barrier for your performance to your team that you don't need. So look, from like, they're one of the best teams in the top 14. They play incredible rugby, but that's it. He needs to learn just to toe that line a little bit, or play that line a little bit cuter, because he doesn't need to be leaving his team for 6 weeks. He's too good and they need him. That's the truth. He's a phenomenal coach.
Yeah, in my little experience as a coach, I do see the heat of the moment stuff, because some of those games, the top 14 games, it gets pretty intense, and I'm up in the nosebleeds watching the game with the computer analysis. Imagine being down in the trenches with everyone, and then you have that competitive streak like Ronan does. I can see how things can boil over. But definitely, as you said, you wouldn't want that trickling down to your players.
They need to send down Donica Ryan and Stan Camp down to the touchline, because they're calmer, and just set Rog up with the computer analyst. Yeah. Like, mate, you see more from up there anyway. Like, honestly, just get up there.
We saw Christophe Urios give him a bit of a slap last season. I was going to ask you, Jerome, if there were any coaches you'd wanted to give a slap to so far, but maybe stay upstairs.
No. Yeah, I'll stay up there.
Again, off the field, really, more than on it, but brief scrape pass by on at home the weekend just gone. But there's been some interesting goings on there as well, haven't there? So English millionaire Ian Osborne has become the main shareholder, and there's talk of them getting a high-profile signing or two, bit of money floating around in brief.
Mate, and the question is, like, Richie Gray, your old teammate Jerome and my old teammate. He is absolutely everywhere.
I've heard this.
Mate, it's everywhere. And I messaged him like last night. I was like, mate, I've seen, like, what's the crack? And he's like, oh, no, just press. Like, just press. Keeping his claws close to his chest. But like, he's been home. Now he's got two kids. I know he would love to finish his career in France. I know how much he loved his time in Cast with me, how much he enjoyed Toulouse, even though there was a bundle of injuries towards the end. Like, he's now back playing regularly, starts every week at Glasgow, runs the line out. He's a freak show. We've both played with him. He's one of the best athletes in world rugby, runs like a back rower. He's a freak. So Brive will be lucky to have him. If it's going to happen, I don't know. You also mentioned coaching staff. They're looking at taking one of the French national team coaches as well. So it's all changed. Like, it's exciting because Brive is a club with a massive history. They've obviously won the European Cup back in the 90s. And they've really fought above their budget. As long as I've been in France, they're just like a scrappy, they put like a rough and tumble bunch of Frenchies, always a couple South Africans, a couple Fijians, and they just scrap it out. But potentially, if they want to jump up another level and compete, aim for top eight, top six, a little bit of investment would be absolutely phenomenal. And Richie, like, you know Richie as well as I do, Jerome, he'd be a great guy to start with.
Mate, he'd be great for the club. And Brive, since I arrived, I've never had an easy game at Brive. It's an absolutely tough place to play, to go and play.
Have you ever won at Brive?
Yes.
Well, there you go, Toulouse. I didn't get to.
Once as a player, once as a coach. But yeah, I've lost probably twice there. It's a tough place to go and play. And like you said, they definitely punch above their weight.
And on the broader point, obviously, the financial struggles of a couple of premiership clubs are big news at the moment. That's obviously not good to see. But is this a major sign that the top 14 is in rude health compared to other leagues, with an Englishman investing so much money in Brive?
I'm not sure how much of that is post-COVID, loss of earnings, the different structures and setups as well. You've got the premiership that has lots of small partners that go into an ownership model. Whereas in France, it's one man's job to float a club most of the time. So it's one big sponsor. So if you go down to Montpellier, it's Maud Altrad. You go to Cast, it's Pierre Fabre. Like, there's one big money man plugging that hole. That being said, as soon as they walk away, it's trouble. But that's why the top 14 is more stable, or has been more stable throughout COVID, in that those budgets have been settled. It's not as dependent on ticket revenue as the premiership is. That being said, the gates are up in the top 14. Gates are down in the premiership as well across the board. And they're really struggling with season ticket holders and generally just getting people through the gate. So I'm not sure. Like, I think with everything that our sport's going through, you know, worries around head knocks, participation has dropped. There's like a massive role around just increasing participation generally, be that, you know, games of tag, game of touch rugby, getting kids involved in the game. So I'm not sure that it's a model difference. I just see that premiership has suffered quicker as a result of everything that's happened over the past two, three seasons. And the top 14 has been a little more bulletproof, but it's different models. Like, the bottom line is, it's horrible to see. You don't want to see it anywhere. All the different models that the federation-owned clubs, so like Glasgow, Edinburgh with Scotland, or the clubs in Ireland or Wales, like Welsh clubs are battling as well. It's across the board that it's difficult at the minute. And that being said, there's bigger investment. The TV money is huge with Canal Plus in the top 14. And for the moment, top 14 clubs are in better health. Pro De Deux is a slightly different story. But yeah, you just don't want to see it. I think there's going to be a lot of English players coming across the channel as well at the end of the World Cup, because budgets are being dropped again and the salary cap is going down in the Premiership. So there's one place that they know they can come pick up a paycheck and earn their way. So I don't know, different models, different ways to skin a cat. But it's not nice to see. Like, what's happening with Worcester, the possibility with Wasps. I think there's three other teams potentially heading in the same direction. There's also massive talk about leaning towards a British league. If these clubs get disbanded, you know, combining the URC and the Premiership. So there's loads going on, but not what you want to see. Like, you want to see all these clubs flourishing and rugby in Britain and Ireland flourishing, as well as France. So fingers crossed they find solutions and they come back quick.
Right. Let's get back to talking about the positive stuff on the pitch. It's about time we did our meter moment of the week, Johnny. What have you got for us?
I've got Toulouse, mate. I've got our new signing.
Of course you have.
Big bang for our buck. He's been phenomenal so far. But as Jerome mentioned, debut for Edgar at 10, Arthur at 9 as well. Both those boys were phenomenal. They scored a try coast to coast from their own 22. big long passes, and Delibes finished off. So the team performance of the week, the meter moment of the week, is Toulouse. Jerome, you can talk us through that try because it was ridiculous.
Yeah, that was, I think it was a good turnover, or they knocked the ball on and we turned it over. So it was Jamine got the ball, threw a long pass to Pierre Fouissek, who then shuffled it over to Archer Bonivo, who did the grubber, got around their flanker, and then Dim Dilib finished it off for us. So Toulouse razzle dazzle.
You said it, Jerome. You don't score that try without the work of the breakdown. So you're taking the credit, yeah?
Yeah, that's yes.
Contact coach. Pay rise.
There we go. That was Johnny and Jerome's meter moment of the week. And Meter is the world's number one wireless meat thermometer, recently making over 20 million cooks better with their game-changing app and completely wireless Bluetooth meat probe. You can use it on a barbecue, in the oven, or in a pan, and you can get your hands on one at meter.com. Plus, you can now get 20% off any full-price item. All you have to do is enter the code FrenchPod20 at checkout. That's FrenchPod20, and you'll get 20% off any full-price item at meter.com.
I'd be more than happy to receive their award on their behalf.
How many meters do you need? We'll send some to Toulouse.
Yeah.
Let's have a very quick look ahead to this weekend, then. A repeat of the top 14 final, Johnny. Cast Montpellier.
My two old sides, mate. And I will tell you now, Cast, who haven't been flying so far this year, have struggled with bits of their game, they struggle with their discipline, but they will be desperate to get Montpellier to Cast. After the manner of that defeat last year, I know a lot of the boys, Julien Dumora, Rory Cockett's now upstairs, he's a coach as well, defence coach, like they will be absolutely desperate to get them down to Cast. So it's a massive game, Montpellier off the back of a loss as well against Toulouse. And yeah, you can just tell like the Cast rugby public as well, they will be absolutely chomping at the bit to get those boys into the stadium. So that's a massive game for Cast. And they'll put a big red mark around that one after the end of last season, how it finished for them. A huge game for them and for the town as well.
And you've got Clermont, Jerome, at home with Toulouse. So without giving away any trade secrets, give us some insight.
Mate, there's been a lot of focus on how well Clermont's been going at the moment. So, for us, it was just this week's just been trying to get the boys back down to ground zero, get their feet on the ground after that win. So, if there's any of that still lingering around in the weekend, we're in for a rude awakening against Clermont. But they'll be going really well, and I'm sure they'll have some more additions coming back from the international side, the Argentinian side, or some guys coming back from injury. So, it's going to be a big one.
Spoken like a true coach, Johnny. Bring them back down to
a true pro. I was going to ask you as well, not very professional, but some of my best bits of playing rugby in France were the away wins and then the bus trip back. So were there any initiations for Edgar in his first game on the way back on the bus? And who was buying the beers and shoving them on the bus for the bus trip back to Toulouse?
No, it was pretty chilled on the way back. Guys weren't really digging into the beers. I think Edgar's initiation will come sooner or later, but it wasn't in the weekend. I think for us, because there's a 6-day turnaround, I think the boys knew that they had to show up on Monday.
What is the initiation at Toulouse, Jerome? Because aside from Edgar, obviously you've had a couple of superstars come in the summer. So what do they have to do?
I don't think it's a bad initiation. I think the initiations happen at stage when you haven't played a game. I think that's when the bad initiations happen. So I think once you play your first game, it's just a sigh of relief that you don't have to go through it again when stage time comes around again.
So classic in France as well. Normally, like if you're young, you're getting your head shaved. So like you'll see the preseason games, you'll see some disgusting haircuts. Like if you go to Exeter, it's normal because that's how they cut their hair. But like if you look around the top 14 in the preseason games in the first like 2-3 rounds, you'll see the young kids with some filthy haircuts. Yeah. That being said, you get like that's the default. And then for most clubs, if you don't want to get your head shaved, you can either, you know, like sing a nasty song, put on a skit, like that type of stuff. It's actually not that bad. But it's when you're young, you still get abused. You get head shaving. And a filthy haircut. There'll normally be a Georgian who's used his hair clippers that he not usually does to do his back and his bum and everything. And then he brings that out and he does the kids with it. It's grim. Absolutely horrible.
Nothing to compete with drinking copious amounts of milk at Gloucester or the absolute filth that goes on at Exeter. But I have seen some of those hair cuts, and that goes on in the Premiership as well. But Toulouse, Jerome, who's the barber? Is it? Is it Manny?
No, it's Roderick Netty or Sofian Gitun. So usually some of the front rowers get amongst it.
What else this weekend, Johnny? What are the big games?
There's Lyon against Bordeaux. Well, again, we talked about Bordeaux earlier, but I could possibly see them sneaking something in Lyon. Like Lyon's another team that new coach under Xavier Garbajosa, who had time out after things didn't go too well at Montpellier. And Lyon don't look that settled either at the minute. So again, we talked about this, the stick that Bordeaux have taken in Urios, but that's the type of game that they could go on the road and very easily nick a win.
And as well as the top 14, Women's World Cup kicks off this weekend. So a quick word on that. England, obviously, red-hot favourites. But Jerome, you mentioned earlier on a Toulouse scrum half, of course, playing for France, Laure Sansus. France and New Zealand, probably the other two teams that can compete with England.
Definitely France and England will be the front runners because they've been playing really well. But I've seen the New Zealand side play the last few games and they seem like they're building pretty nicely. They've got Wayne Smith on board. I've seen Dan Carter's been in with the backs and the kickers. They've got a good crew of guys. Mike Cron, he's been working with the scrum as well. So they've got a good bunch of coaches. They've definitely got a young team. But I'm sure that experience that they've got around them will, and being at home, will give the girls a lift. But also the Australian team, they've always fielded a great side. But having worked closely and seen what the French, but also the English team, they seem pretty strong.
Have France got a chance, Johnny?
Hopeful, mate. Like, I think everyone understands how dominant the Red Roses, have been over the past 24 months. They've been absolutely ridiculous. But you never say never. Like if there's a couple of sides that are capable of turning them over or showing up and doing something ridiculous, stringing together some outstanding pieces of play and challenging them, like it's New Zealand, it's France. They've been there over the past 2-3 seasons. And as Joe mentioned, Australia, sort of wild cards as well. But you have to admit, England, red hot favourites. But France again, and the feeling around the sort of French general rugby public, the support they've had as well in the home games, like we saw sellouts against the Black Ferns and Pau down in Bayonne as well. Like they've drummed up a massive support and the country's really behind them.
Thanks, Johnny. A big thanks, Jerome, as well for joining us this season. Worth every gram of that Côte d'Ivoire for whatever Johnny's given you to join us.
Thanks, Les. Thanks for having me.
And a big thanks to all you guys for listening as well. Make sure you hit subscribe. Leave us a nice review if you can as well. Check us out on Rugby Pass and on YouTube. And we'll be back with another episode next week. Au revoir, guys.
See you, fellas. Bye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Here's a question for the marketers listening. Want to find that perfect customer beyond the world of scrolling, swiping, and searching? Here's a secret to make sparks fly. Smooth talking with podcast ads. With Acast, you can reach millions of listeners who'll be hanging on your every word. On the train to work, in the gym, or waiting in line for coffee. Start up the conversation with podcast listeners anywhere and everywhere. And they're looking for love. 60% of listeners have a higher trust in brands they've met on podcasts compared to social. Get closer to your audience. Make podcast ads with Acast. Head to go.acast.com/closer to get started.